11, consider and take possible action regarding the inclusion of payments for multiple leave sales during a 12-month final average salary period.
I'd like to move that regarding active leave sellbacks, where the employer allows leave sales annually, for example, once every calendar year, no more than one annual cash out counts as compensation for retirement purposes.
All right, second.
Any discussion on the motion, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm opposed to that motion. I think that we ought to stick with what we have been doing in the past and allow. Allow the member to, how do I want to say?
Spike?
No. Allow the member to do what they have always been doing in the past and what they have expected. I think, hang on. As long as it does not, well, go ahead, Will. I'm stuck.
I'm opposed to that.
I just know I'm opposed to it, and I feel that it doesn't allow the employee to do what they have always thought they've been able to do in the past, and that's where I'm at with
it. I'm opposed to the motion. I think that my understanding legally is that CERL provides for it, and then the county policy allows for the essential double buyback or vacation buyback in that time. And I'm with Jerry. I think that
it covers in the final year. Yeah.
I think that the employee should be allowed to do what they've been doing and what they're expected to do, and it's in the benefit of the employee. So I'm opposed to that, and I want to have that just speak against it.
And also I'm opposed to it. I think it's clear it's earned and payable in 1 year, whether you sell it twice or 10 times, but regardless, I think it's earned and payable, so I am opposed to the motion.
I'll speak in favor of the motion. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I'll speak in favor of the motion because I think it's consistent with the legal view of the statute, which states it has to be earned and payable in the final year of compensation. And I think that doesn't allow for or encourage straddling, which is a form of enhancing a pension payout. So for that reason, I'll support the motion.
I'm going to correct you. It's not the final average year. It's the final average period, which it allows.
I was paraphrasing the statute. The statute speaks for itself. What I'm saying is it's in my judgment, what's allowed is what's earned and payable in the final year, final compensation year. So I think the motion is consistent with the statute.
Deborah?
So I think if you look at the mechanics of this, what happens here is by allowing the double sellback, that it becomes compensation that enhances the pension benefit at the end when a member goes to retire. And this board, I believe, has the authority to exclude compensation that is paid to enhance a benefit, and I think this is one example of that.
I disagree. I don't think it's to enhance the benefit. I think it is the benefit. This
is
the benefit.
The pension is the benefit.
Okay.
And we're enhancing the benefit.
Plus all the other things that are counted pensionable is part of the benefit also. Mm-hmm. It's not just base pay.
One point I like to bring up, it's not something that somebody orchestrates in their final year. They can do it in their first 3 years, their first 5 years. It's something that's ongoing. I think what somebody may be alluding to is something to your final year to boost your pension. And in fact, this is an ongoing thing that's never designed to boost pension. It would be ongoing.
Jerry?
Yeah. I think where I was trying to go is we're all on this board because we come from different positions, and we all have different attitudes about compensations. And what I'm trying to present, what I want to present, is the employee's attitude about this compensation. As an employee, if I'm working for the county and I realize that I get into a position, and not all county positions allow this, the ability of the employee to sell on both ends. They only, you know, there's only a certain number of people that get that. And if I am one of those people and I'm lucky enough to be able to sell both those, and I'm not at a top management position, I'm not making a top salary, I'm not a battalion chief, I'm not a department head, I'm a supervisor, or I'm just a frontline management person, and my salary isn't $100,000, it isn't $150,000 a year. This position is an opportunity for me to make more in my retirement, not than what I made in work, but increase my ability to get a better salary for myself and my family when I retire. And I came to work, I was told that, I said, oh, okay, I worked my 25 or 30 years, I think I'm entitled to that. And so if we take option two, which is being suggested, we're affecting those legacy employees that have the ability to use it, to do it. And as an employee, and speaking from that side of it, I would be definitely hurt by not being able to increase my salary $200 a month or $400 a month, or whatever it may be, because I'm not a battalion chief, I'm not a department head. I'm a supervisor, or I'm a frontline manager. So, as an employee, by not being able to do it, we're hurting those people a great deal. And $100 a month, $200 a month is a lot of money. I know that because when I retired, I had the option to buy 2 years of military time, and it cost me $11,000 to buy those 2 years of military time. It increased my salary by $200 a month. I am so thankful that I was able to increase my salary by that $200 a month, because over time, I made that $11,000 back, and now I'm clear of it, and I'm making money on that $11,000. But it gave me the extra money, and I'm not a department head; I was only a supervisor. But I knew that this benefit was available to me, and I used it. So my plea to you is to recognize that for the majority of people that we're going to affect by this decision. And so that's why I know why. I can express it. I hope you all understand it, why option two is not a viable to me, and I'm not accepting it. There be it.
Let's Karen and then Karen.
I wanted to just provide some background for this discussion. This board, of course, runs a trust fund, and as trustees, you're supposed to pay out benefits in accordance with the trust rules. The reason this came up is we have rules regarding what counts as compensation earnable for legacy members. It's been the subject of a lawsuit. We received a ruling from the Superior Court, and now the case on appeal. However, come July 11th of this year, we may have to implement the Superior Court's ruling, and that ruling is very clear about the fact that compensation for retirement purposes with regards to leave cash outs has to be limited to what's earned and payable by the employee during the final average salary period, which is usually a 12-month period, and it can be your last year or 5 years ago. It doesn't matter. You get to pick whatever 12-month period you would like. And the question is, we've been getting questions from our members who are allowed by their employers. This is limited to the county. The county allows them to sell up to one-third of their annual vacation accruals once every calendar year. And what ends up happening in practice is if somebody picks a 12-month period that has two such sales from two consecutive calendar years, then our system has been including both payments in compensation earnable. The question for the board today is whether we should continue to do that or limit it to just one sale. The real question is, are the two sales, one-third plus one-third, earned and payable to the employee in the final average salary period?
Karen, and then Gabe.
I'm supporting this motion for exactly that reason. And we can sit here and discuss when it was earned. We can probably all agree that it was payable in that last year. If an employee chooses another year other than their last year, in all likelihood, they have not sold vacation in two calendar years. In practice, it's usually the last year. So let's make the assumption for my comments here that it is that last year. I cannot support that those vacation hours were earned in that last year because it's always been understood, and I've talked to a lot of employees, that whatever your annual accrual is, if you were in a position that you could sell back a third of your annual accrual, it was based on what your annual accrual was. There have been those, and again, it goes to those who are looking at their final year being their last average salary, that they have done it in two calendar years, but within a 12-month period. I do not believe that... And I'm trying to choose the right words because that was something that was looked at as an enhancement to retirement. And I understand what you're saying, Jerry, but you served in the military. I don't think anybody would argue that those years should not have been allowed for you to buy back and add to your retirement. This is, to me, a different...
I also was able to use the vacation sale back because
and
I was
understand
a supervisor,
that and that
but my salary was
but that's
not.
A lot the majority of our managers these days and supervisors are in the 75 to 100,000. I that's a fact. That's not just numbers being pulled out of there. So I've always felt that employee or retirement is based on your retirement, your personal savings and what have you, and then Social Security depending on when you retire and if you're even eligible for it. So I feel that we are under the law. We have a legal opinion that gives us an option both ways. I just feel for the integrity of the system, for the integrity of all concern, that the concept of a vacation buyback was based on your 12-month annual accrual, and that's why I will be supporting this motion.
And what I think we're doing is we're maybe, some of us, looking as if it's terminal pay, so something that somebody's purposely doing in their last year. And I mentioned before, you can do this any year, so to Karen's point, you go back to the final... Karen Levy's point, final average salary. I can go back 30 years. I know for a fact that there are people that sold their sellbacks on an ongoing basis for the income. So it was nothing somebody did a terminal. So if there's somebody out there that sold it in July of 2013, sold it again in March of 2014, used it as their 12-month, to me they should be entitled to it. It was a regular income. And again, I think we're starting to consider this to be a terminal pay used only to manipulate your pension when in fact is an ongoing benefit that people are getting.
Well, so this was probably put into place by the county in order to assist the county with with having managers present so that, you know, managers, if they stay and they don't take their vacation, they're compensated for it. They can annually sell back that. And the county in turn gets a manager in that spot so that the employee is not forced to take vacation and lose it. So CERL allows it being 1 year period, and the county's policy says it's a calendar year. And even those differentiate and they're not matching up to what some people here want, I am in the benefit of giving it to the employee and allowing what the law allows and allowing what the county policy allows in benefit of the employee.
And I'm older than you, I've been around a long time. I asked when I went to work in 1981, why was this put into place? It was not at management's request, it was at employees' request. And I'm stating that because you just stated that it was at the employer's request. It was at the employer's
request. Aren't management employees as well?
I understand that, but I just want the record clear.
Lou?
I'm opposed to the motion. I think if the person's not using what they gain in a year, or the third and the third, so I'm able to sell back a third and a third, and if I do it December and January, and I have an option to take my highest 12 months to retire, and I pick within those 12 months, that December and January, as long as not using more than what I gain in a year for vacation for total hours salary, I think it should be counted as it's been in the past. I mean, we've been doing this since Ventura came into effect. To change it now, I think it's a disservice to the legacy members, because they are the ones that the management people got it. Okay, when I retired, I didn't get it. But I think if they were able to maximize that, they should be able to maximize that benefit for that reason. I mean, it's not going over. To use vacation, I have to use my maximum amount of vacation if I'm at max vacation, or lose it the next month. So for them to be able to sell it back, and that, as I think Will would attest to, that helps the employer also by not taking vacation. The person is still working, and they have to replace them. So they're saving on if they have to replace overtime or whatever.
I think, I mean, this is clearly within Ventura. I mean, it fits every single category. It's earned, it's payable, and beyond that, it's paid within a consecutive 12-month period, whether it is within two calendar years. I think that's completely irrelevant legally here. The employee has earned it, they've elected to receive it, and it's been received. Retirement contributions have been withheld on it. There is no legal argument for excluding this. All I've heard is philosophical arguments for excluding this. Harvey's opinion is that he could support either of these interpretations or either of these actions. What happens in this sort of situation is Harvey is basically telling us each of these, that the court's ruling is unclear. So you could go either way on this. The courts have always come down, if there's an ambiguity, they come down on with regards to employee benefits, they come down on the side of the employee. So legally, I don't think we have a leg to stand on to deny this benefit. The employers are certainly welcome to negotiate away this benefit if they so choose and the employee organization so agree. But for the employees that continue to have this past July 12th or 11th, I don't think that this board has a legal authority to take this away. And if we do opt to do that today, I would invite the labor organizations to sue us, because I think we are absolutely wrong. That action would be absolutely wrong and not supportable in a court of law. We are looking at a consecutive 12-month period, whether it's a calendar year or it runs from February to March or February to January. It doesn't matter. We're looking at consecutive 12 months. So if you were scheduled to get two raises, once this calendar year and once the next calendar year, but it was all within your consecutive 12-month period, final 12-month period, are we going to then say, well, no, you got a raise in this year,
and you got a second raise in this year, we're only going to count one of them. That's exactly what we're doing here. The employee is getting the money, they've earned that money. Whether it straddles two calendar years, doesn't matter. It's within within 12 consecutive months. We cannot defend this action legally, absolutely. And Harvey's opinion, I believe that Harvey's opinion that said that this could be an acceptable action is based on a misconception that I pointed out to him at the last meeting as to how this sellback of vacation is administered, as to when you can earn it, when you earn it, and when you can sell it. And I truly believe we cannot defend this action in court. And I don't think that we should then force it upon the employees to make a decision between now and within the next couple of weeks as to whether or not they're going to get this benefit and whether or not they're going to decide to retire. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's reasonable action by this board. And I will absolutely vote against this motion. And I will testify against this action in court. Any further comments on the motion?
I had a question. Karen, what are other 37 Act systems doing on this? How many of them allow straddling?
We're only discussing the situation where the employer allows the employee to sell once every calendar year up to one-third of their annual accruals. I don't know of any other county that allows that exact sale. I think typically the sale is for your maximum annual accrual or more. So I don't have any information about what other Searle systems are doing or other counties are doing. This is very specific to the county's policy with regards to vacation sales that are able to be done once every calendar year, up to one-third each time. So I really don't have any information about what others are doing with that type of scenario.
Kurt, do you have any knowledge of whether, just generally, do other systems allow the straddling feature to go on? Or do they include it in pension compensable, really is the question.
I mean, I know of one system. I mean, I know of Alameda, similar, but they're in the same situation where they're in a lawsuit. I know Orange County has 80 hours per fiscal year. You can sell back 80 hours per fiscal year.
That's it.
So that's similar. Mm-hmm. So you could straddle, and they don't allow straddling. They only allow 80 to be included in them. But they've always done that since Ventura.
Two things. One, I'd like to know where did the term straddling even come? Is this such a legal term? Is it something somebody made up? What is?
It's just sort of a term because it straddles two years. It's usually a December, January calendar.
So here's the question I have. Are there any other 1937 Searle Acts that allow what's earned and payable in the last 12 months as part of their pension roll income?
That's what I just answered.
Yes.
No, she said straddling. I'm saying, do they allow what people make in the final average salary 12-month period, do they allow that?
Yeah, it's in the law, isn't it?
That is the rule that all 37 Act systems are supposed to follow.
We're only asking what everyone else is doing. So I don't know where the straddling
thing I misunderstood your answer. You're saying what?
All 37 Act systems are governed by the same statute and by Ventura and by AB 197.
Right.
And so the earned and payable component applies to all?
Yes.
Gabe mentioned the term straddling and the concept of multiple sales, if you will, in one 12-month period. And I don't know of any other counties, I haven't checked to see if for other Searle systems they have an employer that allows multiple sales and that, in our situation, limits every sale to one-third so that if you have multiple sales, two sales, for example, in a 12-month period, the maximum that you can be paid for is two-thirds of your annual accrual.
Right.
It's very specific to what this particular employer is doing in this particular county. There may be others that do the same. I simply don't know.
Next question. Does Searle make it clear what the 12-month period is, or is there a very gray line there between, or is it just a matter of interpretation? Because if Searle says a 12-month period, whereas the county says a calendar year, is there does one overrule the other?
The 12-month final average salary period can be any consecutive 12-month period. It doesn't have to be a calendar year or a fiscal year.
And that's clear according to
that's clear under our statute.
The member is actually allowed to select the period if they the member can select the period.
Okay.
12 consecutive months,
yeah,
or
36. So this opposed to the motion, it's allowable. They're not exceeding the two-thirds, as Searle says. And the county, if it was 6 months, you could do a vacation buyback every 6 months. Would we be having this discussion? I don't think we would. But the county knows about this because they've made changes to make it a 13-month. So they've identified that they've essentially made a mistake, and it's not what they want with the calendar year versus the one year, final average salary period. So I'm opposed to this. I think this is for the legacy employees. I think that this is what they're expecting, and it's in the benefit of the employee. And it opens us up to, as Brian has said, to possible legal scrutiny.
So. This one went one of the comment. I think this is the employees should be meeting. These are MOU items. And I think the employer is the one that should bring this to the employees and change it. And it shouldn't be us changing it or messing with the way it is now. It's the employer, the one that needs to handle this and not us.
I completely agree because, our job as trustees or fiduciaries of the system is to administer the system. We're not to decide what benefits are or not.
Right. It's the employer and the employees that come to us and say, we want this benefit.
Yep.
And it's not us saying, well, we're going to give you this set of benefits.
Completely. The employee has the understanding they're receiving this as legacy employees. It's within the law. The employer has the understanding that they're going to pay for this. And this board has been aware of this for a while. So I'm completely opposed to the motion.
Any other comments? Okay. All those in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand. We've got Deborah, Scott.
Oh, I'm sorry. Repeat.
That are in favor of the motion.
Could we repeat the motion?
Can we back the motion?
So the motion is regarding active leave sellbacks where the employer allows leave sales annually. No more than one annual cash out counts as compensation for retirement purposes.
So it would be limiting the sellbacks to one sellback in the consecutive 12-month period. All those in favor, raise your hand. Deborah, Scott, John, Karen. Motion fails. So we'll continue to do business as...
Make a motion that we adopt option number one regarding active leave sellbacks so long as leave payouts do not exceed the maximum leave that the member accrues during the final average salary period. Payments for leave count as compensation for retirement purposes, even if the employer allows more than one sale during the final average salary period. I make that motion.
For a second?
I'll second it.
In seconds. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor, raise your hand. We've got Gabe, Jerry, Brian, Will. Motion fails.
Wait, who's all? Okay. Gabe, are you the only?
Will can vote.
No,
Will can vote for the vacant member. You can vote too.
No. Gabe can vote for Cabral.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Use a,
let me be clear that July 1, that
that's right.
Makes it sorry. So
Gabe is voting for the...
Nothing's changed.
Yeah. I didn't think so. So that's why I was confused that you made the motion. I think somebody who can vote should be making...
No, he can't.
He can vote.
He's in the
absence. He can vote. He's Richard Cabral.
He's voting for the general member.
You're an alternate for both seats?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I did not... I thought you were the alternate for this seat.
No, I'm the retiree.
All I'm sorry.
Who's on first, Karen?
I used to be, Karen.
You look like her.
So, okay. Why does the motion fail? I thought we got five votes.
Five votes.
Had only four votes.
Four votes.
Four affirmative votes for the first motion.
No, I know that one failed.
Only four affirmative votes for the second. I haven't gotten to the
no.
To the no's on the second motion, and or to the abstentions.
So who voted yes? I'm trying to. Okay. Could they raise their
one
hands
more time.
Again?
Second motion in favor of the
but
second
is this,
motion.
Is this motion muted?
I didn't know we have it really
because there's no change.
Because we're not
because they've asked for direction, and I think you do need a motion.
Yeah. Well, if we can't come to a consensus, then we can't change our existing
that's right.
policy.
Yeah. So I withdraw my second on that.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
So could the chair announce what the policy is of the board?
The current policy of the board, which will continue because of there was no change made today by an affirmative majority, is that during a consecutive 12-month period, or if you're tier two, a consecutive 36-month period, let me do it with 12 months because 36 confuses me.
It stays the same.
With 12 months, the board's policy is that within a consecutive 12-month period, it's used as the time period for determining your final average salary. That up to two sellbacks of vacation, which the totals do not exceed 1 year's worth of earned vacation, will be included in calculating the final compensation for retirement purposes.
As paid and earnable during the 12-month period.
And in the 36-month period, rather than three, it allows for a total of four. Which has always been our policy.
And that's fine, but I would go back and argue on the first motion. We need to take a positive vote and a negative vote and an abstention vote. We did not finish the motion and the vote.
The
so it was 4-4. So I think, as the chair, you need to call for the
okay.
no votes.
Okay, so for the original motion,
yes.
which would limit it to one, we took a vote on the affirmatives. We'll take a vote on the against. All those against the first motion. Limit to one sellback inclusion. Please raise your hand.
You're talking about option two that you, yeah.
Okay. Will, Brian, Jerry, Tellus, Gabe Rodriguez, any abstentions with regards to the first one? Bryce, abstention on the first motion.
Thank you.
So the second on the second, since the first motion failed, the second on the second motion was withdrawn, so there is no second
That's
motion.
Fine. I just wanted okay. a full vote on the other one.
Okay. All right.
So our direction then is to revise our FAQs and answer the question that is posed by saying that Sarah will continue to allow the two sales to be included in compensation earnable for legacy members so long as the accrual does not exceed what the member could accrue in 1 year, their annual accrual. In our example, it's 240 hours.
And maybe different depending on, because you can accrue different amounts depending on years of service. So.
Right.
Okay. Where are we, 12?